Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. And I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson, who normally, he's our news director for American Family News and One News Now, normally comes in with the news. You instead have, just as of 10 minutes ago, come in to substitute for Walker Wildman.
And the reason is?
And the reason is he is going to the hospital.
Yes.
Where his wife is awaiting him. And so it looks like the long-awaited Wildman twins are on the way.
Are on the way. The doctor this morning decided enough's enough.
Yeah.
We got enough evidence here that they're ready, so let's go.
These two twins are almost 8 pounds apiece.
I know.
And Lexi Wildman, Walker's wife, is 5'2". I go by his info there. And so I'm 5'2" with two almost 8 pound baby boys. She must be ready. She was probably ready weeks ago.
I can hear the screams from here.
Yes.
Good luck there, Walker.
We are asking you to pray for the Wildman twins and for Walker and Lexi Wildman. Most of our folks, I think, are familiar with Walker. He's on the show enough, has his own show on Saturdays. And I just got to say, not because they're the children of my boss, I love those two boys, Wesley and Walker. They are two fine young men. Mm-hmm. Their daughter, Riley, also a fine young lady. Mm-hmm. And hope only for the best for them. And these would be grandchildren number seven.
Wow.
Six and seven for Tim and Allison.
Wow. I think Walker and his wife were trying to hold on until Tim and Allison get back from the Holy Land.
Yeah, but that's Friday.
And it just wasn't happening.
I told Walker, I said, now when you go to the hospital, tell Lexi if she can stay in labor for 3 days, I'm sure Tim and Allison would be very appreciative.
Yeah, Lexi would not.
Yeah, Walker said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do since I go to the hospital. All right. So taking your spot, Fred, is Chris Woodward.
Yes.
He's going to be bringing the news to us this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Here. Thank you very much. I was 9 pounds, 7 ounces when I was born, and then I stopped growing.
You're not far off that right now,
right? No, I'm not. I have this chair jacked up as far as it will go.
So, folks, if you want to watch and you want to see Chris, you can actually watch the show on Facebook and YouTube. So you just search for Today's Issues, and as long as they let us stay on the air, you can watch us. And for those who wonder if I'm just kidding, well, we're going to have Janet Mefford on at the bottom of the hour after our break, talking about some censorship. And so, folks, we are kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop with regards to big social media. In terms of AFA and AFR. So anyway, that's a little bit of a tease. We'll have more of that upcoming. All right. And I was going to say, Fred, what's the news? So, Chris, what have you got?
Well, a big story that we are following in the newsroom at American Family News and OneNewsNow.com is a growing call amongst many Democrats, especially those running for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination, to add to the number of justices at the Supreme Court. They want to take it from 9 to a number to be determined. And Elizabeth Warren is one of these people. Senator Kamala Harris is another person. Beto O'Rourke has an idea about it as well. And I want to begin with clip two here. This is Liberty Counsel founder and chairman Matt Staver speaking on AFR's Janet Mefford Live program. He told Janet yesterday that these Democratic presidential candidates are desperate.
They see that the Supreme Court, the activist court, the politicized court, that they have relied on for such things as abortion and same-sex marriage, is changing, and what you see is a new set of judges and justices at the Supreme Court that are committed to the rule of law, and they don't like that, and they want to actually expand the number of seats on the court for the next potential Democratic president. The contenders are saying they'll expand so that they can pack more people on the court, and what they call depoliticizing, which is actually, you know, the kind of the Orwellian type of term for using a term that doesn't mean what it says, actually completely the opposite. They want to politicize the bench.
Now, Matt went on to tell Janet that there's nothing that says it has to be 9. And he pointed out, rightly so, that we started out with less than 9. It just reached a point where it became 9. But what do you guys think? Do you think this is an effort from the Democrats to try to politicize the bench even further than it already has?
Well, now, of course, most of our listeners who, you know, are historically savvy, and when I say savvy, I mean I'm not an expert, and I'm going to show my ignorance here in a second. But we do remember reading that Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, tried to pack the Supreme Court himself because the Supreme Court was not going along with his New Deal, and so he wanted a different outcome.
Right.
So he wanted to add judges, I think to make it up to 13 or something like that, so that he could appoint those Supreme Court, he could nominate those Supreme Court justices who would give him what he wanted. Now, he got slapped down. I'm trying to remember how he got slapped down and how do you increase, Congress, I would think, would have to increase the number of, because Congress is in charge of establishing the federal judiciary.
Yeah, there is some sort of issue where the legislative branch would have to weigh in on this. I saw a PBS special one time on Roosevelt's idea, and according to PBS at that time, this has been a couple of years ago, but Roosevelt, one of the reasons why he wanted to do it, if they didn't retire at a certain age, he wanted to be able to nominate someone for every person that did not retire. And this is almost 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And now we live in an age where it's like term limits and, you know, Ginsburg's too old and things like that. And, you know, here we had a guy 80 years ago that wanted to do it because they wouldn't retire, he said.
Well, Fred, it seems clear to me that the Democrats, in all sorts of ways, when they don't like the rules that they have to play by, they just want to change the rules to benefit their own agenda. I mean, this is to me, this is crooked what they're advocating.
Oh, there's no question, and we know what the agenda is. During the 8 years of the Barack Obama presidency, I don't remember a Democrat suggesting this at all.
Right.
Well, this all has to do with the fact that Donald Trump, businessman Donald Trump, won the election. And they still can't get over this.
Right.
And they realize that with the Republicans in charge of the Senate, with President Trump in the White House, that he can really change. That many would say get the country back to where it was, make America great again is
right.
his theme. So this is all about they don't like the conservative justices that have been appointed to the Supreme Court by the president. And they're using words like crisis. For example, Kamala Harris, one of those who would like to be the next president of the United States, is warning, quote, of a crisis of confidence in the Supreme Court. Who's lacking confidence in the Supreme Court right now? Has she gone out and done a poll about this?
Right.
Are the American people really concerned about the fact that Kavanaugh and Gorsuch now sit on the Supreme Court? I don't think so. And a Fox News story quotes a professor explaining the current court is in a position to shatter the national consensus. Those are his words. For that, the professor insists Republicans must and will pay a steep price. It should come as no surprise. The same individual's book is titled, quote, It's Time to Fight Dirty, How Democrats Can Build a Lasting Majority in American Politics. So this is all part of the left. They're upset that Donald Trump became president of the United States, that he could win again in 2020. So now they're coming up with their solution to all of this is pack the courts. And it's not only the Supreme Court they're talking about, they're also talking about increasing the number of federal judges out there.
Yeah, this I don't think anybody's fooled by what's happening here. And the irony, the delicious irony, I'm not sure what that means, but I've heard it used before. The delicious irony is that the progressives slash regressives in this country have spent 60 or 70 years turning the U.S. Supreme Court into the single most powerful branch in Washington, D.C. Nothing is more powerful than the Supreme Court, and nobody is more powerful in this country than federal judges.
Mm-hmm.
And they have done that, expanding judicial power beyond its constitutional boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And now that that Supreme Court is turning conservative, and now that President Trump has been filling many of the federal, lower court federal positions with conservatives, all of a sudden, having a powerful judiciary, federal judiciary, mm-hmm. that's conservative,
yes.
makes these progressives very, very nervous.
Yep, that's exactly what's happening, and they're trying to wiggle their way around this. And it's,
yeah.
I'm sure Chris is going to get into this, too. And on another avenue, great proposals out there to get rid of the Electoral College.
Yeah,
that's what they would like to do. Now, that one's going to be a tougher one for them,
right?
Because that would take a constitutional amendment. But they don't like the fact that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote in 2016. So what they're trying
Which won the popular vote but lost the electoral election.
The Electoral College, yes. So they want to change that. They want to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, Chris, what would happen in that is basically you would have, because of the large populations on the East Coast and the large population in California, Oregon, and Washington, those states basically, if this was to happen, would control elections from here on out.
Right. And I don't necessarily buy that there is in to the idea as they are, because then you run the risk of people voting against it. And then you've lost something that you've spent a lot of time, energy, and effort pushing for. But one example of someone pushing this is Senator Elizabeth Warren. She was in the great state of Mississippi a couple of days ago. She visited with people in the Delta, and then she took a trip down the highway and spoke with CNN personalities at a private event at Jackson State University. And Senator Warren is one of the people out there that advocates for getting rid of the Electoral College. This is clip one.
Presidential candidates don't come to places like Mississippi. Yeah. They also don't come to places like California and Massachusetts, right? Because we're not the battleground states. We can have national voting, and that means get rid of the Electoral College and everybody.
Well, listen, this is all meant to obscure the truth about what they are advocating for. She doesn't really care about Mississippi.
No.
And the fact of the matter is, you get rid of the Electoral College, you know the only places presidential candidates are going to go are major cities.
Mm-hmm.
That is why the Electoral College was established. One of the reasons why the Electoral College was established. Now, we are going to, when Abraham Hamilton III will be on at 10:45 Central Time on this show, we're going to toss a couple of legal issues his way. We are going to revisit this issue on the Electoral College and what some states are doing already to try to do an end around. But there are a lot of reasons why the Electoral College was established. The arrogance of these Democrats is that they really do believe they know more than the Founding Fathers. Mm-hmm. They believe these Founding Fathers were from another time and era. Of course, they are. They were. But that means that they, aren't as smart as the Beto O'Rourke's and the Elizabeth Warren's. These Founding Fathers understood full well the arguments that the Democrats are making.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying you do not want a popular democracy calling the shots in this country. There are a ton of good reasons why we should keep the Electoral College. It's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
No electoral system is, but it has served us well. And the Democrats are so angry that President Trump won that they want to start changing everything to suit them.
Let's go back to 2007. What was the theme of Barack Obama running for president? Change the country.
Fundamentally change. Yeah.
Fundamentally change the country, change the world. So the Democratic Party has a messianic view of itself. And Donald Trump has gotten in the way of that messianic view. They believe in big government. They believe in socialism.
Right.
That's what they believe in. Donald Trump got in the way. That's why they hate him.
And shocked them when he did. Completely unexpected.
The mainstream media. And we know from surveys, 90% of the mainstream media vote Democrat.
Right.
That's why CNN and these other major networks, they hate Donald Trump. He got in the way of their worldview that they want to impose on this country. And the other problem for these with messianic views of themselves, they don't like conservative Christians.
Right.
And that is why, you know, conservative Christians are being persecuted in this country, as we've talked about before. I'm talking about the Baronelle Stutzmans, mm-hmm. and the Kleins,
right.
and others. The mainstream media is cheering the courts on.
Right.
When these Christians, there are moves to put them out of business because of what they believe about the Bible.
Right.
That's what's happening. And so they want to get rid of conservative politicians, and they want to get rid of Christians. When I say get rid of, not necessarily put to death, what I'm saying is they want to silence you.
Yes.
They don't want your voice in the political realm. They certainly don't want your voice in the courts.
Right.
So this is what this is all about. They honestly do believe they have a better idea on how to run this country. They want this country to be socialist, and anything that gets in the way is demonized.
Yes.
And we have to come up with a solution to get rid of these people.
Yeah.
The delicious irony.
Yes.
Of what
it is.
Senator,
it is a nice expression, isn't it?
Well, you know, Senator Warren, she made a case for getting rid of the Electoral College because, in her words, candidates don't come to Mississippi. If we get rid of the Electoral College, candidates won't come to Mississippi still.
That's right.
So the delicious irony that she made a case for getting rid of it that people in favor of it have used for years.
Right.
And we'll continue to talk about it because I'm sure she's not going to be the last one to talk about it. All right, you guys pick the direction forward. Do you want domestic news or do you want to go international?
I think when we're talking about Democrat candidates, we have got to read the top story right now on Fox News.
Okay.
Here's the headline. Beto O'Rourke followed $80 million Senate loss to Cruz by eating stomach-turning regenerative meal. He ate New Mexico dirt.
Yes.
Is this the man you want to be the next president of the United States?
This guy's a whack job. I mean, the more I hear about this man, he sounds like a crazy New Ager. You know that he ate. It says Beto O'Rourke didn't eat crow, humble pie, or even his words after losing to Ted Cruz. He ate dirt instead. This is from Fox News. O'Rourke, who came up short in his bid to unseat Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, despite raising $80 million for the Senate push, told the story of his earthy snack in a sprawling 3,000-word profile published by the Washington Post. No surprise there. He ate New Mexican dirt said to have regenerative powers. He brought some home for the family to eat, too. Now, that is just as weird as it comes. And as I said yesterday, though, I said this, and I make this prediction. I don't care how out there the Democratic nominee is, how weird, how bizarre. If this guy gets the nomination, it is going to be a close election. Yeah. That goes to show how split this country is.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I've said for weeks, if not months now, that the Democratic Party's presidential ticket will be at least one of the quote-unquote radicals, because they're going to try to bring these people in. Now, it's either going to be, let's say, a Beto and then Vice President Biden as the vice president, something like that, you know, because they're going to try to bring in the three moderates that are still left in the party to try to make sure they get their votes. To be honest with you, when I heard this topic, I imagine the guy, the reporter, goes home and somebody says, "How did your day go?" "Oh, good. I did a story about Beto eating dirt." What?
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I mean, that sounds like an Onion headline.
Yes, it does. It sounds like it's a satirical piece.
There's a thing now on social media where a lot of people will find one of these crazy stories and they'll say, "Not the Onion or the Babylon Bee."
Yes.
You know? And I guarantee somebody's already.
So this guy's a whack job, but he has as good a shot as anybody at getting the Democratic nomination. That says something about that party.
Regenerative.
I can't even say the word. For some reason, that word is hung up in my brain. Regenerative. There we go.
You know, it's almost lunchtime for some of our listeners.
Dirt.
It's what's for
a nice
lunch.
Thin crust dirt pizza. Sounds good to me.
All right. I tell you what, something, a lot of people are preparing maybe to go to Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study or whatever their house of worship might call it. There's a story out of Arkansas that we've got on our website today, and I'm trying to follow up with the representatives and the senator pushing this. But the Arkansas House has approved a bill that requires public schools to offer an elective course on the Bible if students request one. The bill approved by the House on Tuesday by a 64-7 vote would require a public school to offer the academic study of the Bible if at least 15 students request one. Arkansas already has a law that allows public schools to offer an elective course on the Bible, but it doesn't force them to do it. They say the course would be taught in what the legislation calls a non-devotional manner with no attempt made to indoctrinate students. Would you be okay with making it a requirement that schools offer an elective course if students want
to? Yeah, and I think other states have already done that.
Several have.
I think the Bible is so critical to an understanding of our history, our government, our culture, Western civilization. I think schools are nutty if they refuse to teach students about the importance. Now, obviously, you get into doctrinal issues and sectarian issues. I think that should be better left for church and your pastor, your church denomination, whatever, your parents especially. But in terms of teaching the Bible, the information in it, what the Bible says, and its impact on Western civilization and our culture, I think it is. I think it's good for students. I've even heard atheists who say that. I've even heard Jews who say that.
Well, you figure out where people are coming from.
Yeah, I've got a copy actually of the bill in front of me here. One of the things it says is be taught in an objective and non-devotional manner, with no attempt made to indoctrinate students as to either the truth or falsity of the biblical materials or texts from other religious or cultural traditions. You know, I agree with you, Ed. I think it can be taught from an historical text. You know, teach about Abraham.
Right.
And who he was. Teach about how did the 12 tribes of Israel come about.
Right.
Well, this is what the Bible says about it. It teach about the history of the Babylonians.
Yes.
Taking control. And the Medes and the Persians. I wish they would teach chapter 2 of Daniel,
right,
which is perhaps the most powerful piece of prophecy.
Right.
But you could teach it.
Yes.
This is what the book of Daniel says. He interpreted a dream of this king Nebuchadnezzar.
And these were the actual empires that came.
That came.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating
stuff.
Well,
you could, I mean, how can you understand the Middle East without understanding the two sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael,
yes,
and that they would be at each other, and the enmity that originated between those two continues between the Jews and the Arabs.
Where did our natural laws come from?
Right.
You could teach about the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Now, you don't have, you know, the teacher would not have to say, and you better obey these.
Right.
But at least you could teach them in saying, if somebody wanted to know, well, where did the idea that sex outside of marriage is wrong, where'd that come from?
Right.
Well, it comes from the Bible.
Well, Romans chapter 1, you wouldn't even have to get into the issue of homosexuality, but you could point out the fact that ideas in Western civilization about natural law, I understand that ideas about natural law even predated the New Testament in Romans 1 with Aristotle and others, but you would say, listen, our founding fathers believed natural law was important because Romans 1 says that the attributes, the nature of God, are seen in nature. A lot of the scientists who made discoveries based it on Romans chapter 1 and this whole idea that God created the world to reflect him, and it is a world of order and rationality, so they began to look for laws. All these things have had such a huge impact on our culture and Western civilization, that it really is ridiculous that schools have abandoned this because they're afraid of the Bible.
Yeah, or they're afraid of a lawsuit.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, when we come back, we're going to have more news and information. I do want to let you know, I'll tell you more about this right after the break. Our very popular Easter buttons are available again this year, and tell you a little bit more about how to get them. They are a beautiful and simple way to perhaps raise conversations or start conversations about Easter and the importance of Easter. And I'll tell you about how you can get those. When we come back after the short break, Janet Mefford will be here and then Abraham Hamilton III. This is Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be back in a flash.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook. In a move most Christians probably never expected to see, Walmart has created and is promoting a Facebook video ad that normalizes homosexual relationships, and they need to hear from you. The ad is part of a campaign released on Valentine's Day called Love is in the Aisle, a dating show at Walmart. Episode 2 features Pat and Andy, two homosexual men on a blind date as they meet at the store and shop together and discover whether or not they're compatible. Please sign the American Family Association petition to Walmart asking them to remove this pro-homosexual video and remain neutral on controversial issues. It's clear that Walmart is on the path to elevating homosexual relationships to the same level as the male-female model of marriage. Sam Walton must be turning over in his grave. Let Walmart hear from their Christian customers. We'll present the petition at corporate headquarters March 20th. Please sign our Walmart petition today at afa.net. That's afa.net.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A matter of privacy. That story next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. A 10th grade girl at Honesdale High School in Pennsylvania was in the girls' locker room the other day. While she was undressing, she heard a man's voice. She turned around and saw a boy who identifies as a girl staring at her.
I glanced down and I could tell that he was wearing women's underwear and what was underneath it. When I knew that a man was looking at me, I felt very violated and very scared, especially looking at me while I'm getting dressed.
The young lady filed a civil rights complaint with the Department of Education. Her attorney says the teenager was sexually harassed, her privacy violated. But the school district says they've done nothing wrong. They say the transgender student has a right to use the locker room and shower facilities of his choice. The district said if the biological female has a problem undressing in front of a boy, she should change somewhere else. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward. I was trying to come up with some clever nickname for you, Chris, but I couldn't.
I once had a guy at a TV station I worked for refer to me as Topher Woodchuck.
Topher. Oh, instead of Topher Grace?
Yeah, Topher Woodchuck is what he called me. To this day, he still calls me that.
I'm not sure why that's clever, but anyway, folks, I told you before the break I was going to let you know about our Easter buttons. They are beautiful yellow buttons that Easter, he lives with us. Three crosses on it. The buttons have been very popular. You probably already know what they are and have seen them before. If you want to order some, you can go to afastore.net. That's afastore.net. Or you can call 877-927-4917. That is the number for the store. That is 877-927-4917. And they have the prices there. You can buy one pack or 2 to 4 packs. They have different prices per pack. And so we recommend that you get one, wear one, but share them. Give them away. They're great ways to start conversations about the importance of Easter and about the Lord Jesus Christ. You do have to order by April 10th, though, to ensure that you have them by Easter. So the Easter buttons are out and are available. All right. A voice that is familiar to a lot of our listeners here at American Family Radio, Janet Mefford, who's host of Janet Mefford Today, which airs on the AFR network from noon to 1 p.m. Central Time weekdays. She is a guest with us to talk about something that I think is going to become increasingly common for conservatives, and that is censorship. Janet, welcome to Today's Issues.
Ed, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Fred and Chris are also on. Janet, I know we've only got you for a few minutes here, so we want to let our listeners know of a little bit of a development. Now, some of our listeners are familiar with Vimeo. Many may not. Tell our listeners what that is and what has happened.
Sure. Well, there are a lot of people who will know Vimeo because Vimeo has all of these videos from various content providers. Very popular site. A lot of churches upload their sermons there. A lot of ministries use Vimeo. And Vimeo also owns Livestream. People may be familiar with Livestream as well. And what happened to us, I was part of a conference that took place at the end of February in Oklahoma City called the God's Voice Conference. And the entire conference was about standing on the Word of God against this movement by LGBT activists to turn biblical theology on its head in our own churches, Bible-believing churches, and try to woo us into denying the Word of God and the possibility of transformation and leaving the homosexual lifestyle behind. So this was basically a Bible conference that we had, and Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, hosted our conference. They were wonderful. We loved being there. They have a live stream account, at least they did at the time that we had our conference at the end of February. And so we linked to their Vimeo account. It's a live stream account, but it's owned by Vimeo. And we put all of our conference videos on our godsvoice.us website, which was, you know, what you do a lot of times once you have a conference, you put all the videos up so people can watch who weren't able to attend. Well, shortly after we concluded our conference, Vimeo contacted Fairview Baptist Church and said they were shutting down their account. And they gave the reasons here, and I'm looking at this email that Vimeo sent to Fairview Baptist Church. Not only did they lose their account, but because the account was closed down, our videos were all wiped out off our website as well. But they gave these reasons. They said that they were violating Vimeo's terms of service and guidelines. And they said specifically Vimeo moderators will generally remove accounts or content that make derogatory or inflammatory statements about individuals or groups of people, are intended to harm someone's reputation, or have an overall mean-spirited vibe. And then they went on to say, we also forbid content that promotes sexual orientation change efforts. Well, what's interesting about this, Ed, is we were in violation of none of those things, and I can't even find in the guidelines or the terms of service of Vimeo any reference whatsoever to sexual orientation change efforts and how that is part of what they forbid if you have a Vimeo account. So the reason I think this is a big deal is because we have now crossed a line. We've seen ministries like Restored Hope Network, like Pure Passion Ministries, which deal with helping people with unwanted same-sex attraction or people who want to come out of the homosexual lifestyle find freedom in Jesus Christ. They've been completely wiped off Vimeo. They lost their accounts completely. But what they did here in getting rid of Fairview Baptist Church's account, they wiped out all the church's sermons. It wasn't just, we didn't like this one talk that someone gave, so we're going to remove the video. They wiped the whole thing out. And that, to me, is a line that has just been crossed that I have not seen crossed before.
Janet, it's Fred here. Is there any kind of appeal process, or is, because Vimeo, I assume, is a private entity, they say they can run their business any way they want?
Well, again, we're back to the same issue. On the appeal front, yes, I think there are some things going on behind the scenes the church is trying to deal with. But on the, you know, again, we're seeing with the tech giants, Facebook and Twitter, mm-hmm. people are always making those comments. They're private companies. They can do what they want. But then it gets into the guidelines. Are they publishers, content publishers, or not? Are they just, you know, conduits for information and for content, or are they publishers? And, you know, this is what we've been dealing with a lot of these tech giants. The bottom line here, though, is Vimeo is almost openly admitting here that if you have any moral objection to homosexuality or you have any belief that somebody can leave the homosexual lifestyle, you cannot be on their website. And to me, it's just total viewpoint discrimination. And if you read through this email that was sent to the church, you can see it plain as day. It's just, it's astonishing to me.
Hey, Janet, it's Chris here. Talking about how they, you know, they said that the videos were mean-spirited and violated some kind of terms of agreement. Are you aware of any mean-spirited videos from the sexual orientation gender identity community when it comes to fundamentalist or conservative Christians?
Why, yes, Chris, I am. That's the irony, isn't it? That's the irony. Mm-hmm. Mean-spirited vibe is in the eye of the beholder, apparently. But again, this is such a vague thing. When they say it's a mean-spirited vibe, well, how do you know if you run afoul of it? It's one thing if you start bullying and being nasty and mean and you're over the top. I mean, we can all recognize it when we see it. But who are the arbiters of what they consider to be mean-spirited? And is it mean-spirited to be biblical? That seems to be the new thing.
We are talking to Janet Mefford, host of Janet Mefford Live, which airs on the AFR network from noon to 1 p.m. Central Time on weekdays. We're talking about the fact that a church, Fairview Baptist Church of Edmond, Oklahoma, has been absolutely censored by Livestream, owned by Vimeo, because the content of a conference on the biblical view of homosexuality and how churches should approach this issue and how individuals should approach this issue was deemed, to just use a general word, offensive. Not only was the conference videos removed, but all sermons from Fairview Baptist Church have been removed. Janet, let me ask you this, because we could, using the kind of ideas and defense that Vimeo and some of these other big socials are using, I mean, if other companies like Verizon or AT&T decided that they did not want to give phone service to people who violated their particular ethical standards, well, we could see a time when big ministries, small ministries, churches, both large and small, if they stand for righteousness regarding sexual orientation or human sexuality, they could, I mean, there's no stopping any private business from just saying, if you believe Romans 1, you have to go somewhere else to get your phone service, for example. Am I overstating this? Am I just being an alarmist?
No, Ed, not at all. You're completely right about that. And many people have been noticing this same thing. And the irony here is these are the same people, this side of the aisle, that has been screaming and yelling about people like Jack Phillips and Baron L. Stutzman and Aaron and Melissa Klein being discriminatory when they say we're Christians and we don't want to materially participate in so-called same-sex weddings. That's discrimination. That requires force and compelled speech and compelled action from their point of view. But then they can turn around and say, we don't like your view on sexuality. And that's basically what they said to this church. We don't like your view. And you're absolutely right, Ed. Where this goes is inevitably down the road where they will begin to say and do things that will say, well, I'm offended by your position, and so I'm not going to serve you. It's good for the goose, but not for the gander. They're total hypocrites. They never put up with it for a minute if they believe it's happening to them, but they will turn around and act completely totalitarian against Christians and then try to say, well, sorry, go somewhere else. But they do. That Vimeo is a virtual monopoly when it comes. I mean, they don't really have anybody in the same category. Perhaps you could say YouTube. But I mean, you look at these tech giants, who can compete with Twitter? Who can compete with Facebook? It's easy to say, let's go to other platforms, but it's not the same thing. And we, you know, they're the same ones who don't like it when you say, if you want your cake, why don't you go to the bakery down the street? They don't like that. So why are they acting like this?
Right. And you really are put at a disadvantage if you cannot access Facebook or YouTube or some of these other kind of social media giants. You are at a competitive disadvantage. And it's clear. And listen, we've actually heard of ministries who have been denied service by credit card companies.
Yes.
And, you know, PayPal. I mean, all these kinds of things are slowly, maybe not so slowly, creeping into the reality under which Christians are going to be living. Last question, just brief. Is Fairview Baptist Church going to be taking any, is there any possibility of legal action against Vimeo/Livestream, or is that just being held close to the vest at this point?
I think at this point they are weighing all of their options, but it certainly is noteworthy that they see exactly what is happening to them. And the scary part about it, Ed, is if this happens to Fairview Baptist Church today, it could happen to your church tomorrow.
Right.
If it happened to our conference today, it could happen to your conference tomorrow. That's the thing people don't understand is the slippery slope danger. So, yeah, we'll be kind of keeping tabs on what goes on from here. But at the moment, I think they're just really grateful for the word getting out and thankful to you guys, I know, for being willing to have me on and talk about this, because I think every Christian needs to know about it.
Well, and you have covered it, and you do a great job of bringing these kinds of situations and circumstances to light. So thank you so much, Janet, for being on with us today, and keep doing the great work that you're doing on your program.
Thanks, guys. You too.
That is Janet Mefford, host of Janet Mefford Live, which airs on AFR from noon to 1 p.m. Central Time each weekday. It's scary stuff, but you know, we've been saying this for years. Mm-hmm. People said you're a bunch of scaremongers. You're this hyperbole, and you're, but it's not. We saw the trends. Brother Don Wildman, who started this ministry, maybe didn't see social media, but saw these other trends. It's why AFR exists. Mm-hmm. He saw that we were not going to get our voice out on the mainstream media. He said, next best option, American Family Radio. And yep. So he, in a lot of ways, saw around the curve.
Yeah, saw what's coming, but it's all part of spiritual warfare, you know. And Christians have been talking about spiritual warfare for a long time. And I'm thinking Christians in America, but they always kind of reflected what's happening to dear Christians in China.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or in the Muslim countries in Africa. But folks, it has arrived at our doorstep.
Yes.
And it's not just creeping in. The satanic forces are very open about what they're doing on so many different fronts that are out there. So I think it is time for Christians to assess what they believe and why they believe it.
Right.
You know, so.
And whether or not they're going to be faithful to it.
Exactly.
Under pressure.
Are you going to be a Daniel?
Yes.
Are you going to, you know, regardless of the consequences, I will stand by biblical truth. And, you know, God will make a way for his message to get out. He will make a way. But we have to stand strong, and we have to tell people about what's going on in their world. Prepare our kids for this spiritual warfare. If they haven't faced it already in their schools and in other venues, and then they are going to face it. So it just goes back to the importance of biblical teaching, what we were talking about a few moments ago, and standing no matter what the cost.
Right. Well, someone who is not unfamiliar with spiritual warfare about these kinds of issues is Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst, general counsel for AFA, and host of the Hamilton Corner, heard weekdays at 5:05 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. Abe, welcome back to TI on a Wednesday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Typically, when we have you guys, have you on.
Chris?
Yeah, Chris. Topher, what is it? What
Topher
is it?
Woodchuck.
Topher Woodchuck.
Badge of honor.
The nickname that we still don't understand.
Someone will meet me tonight at church and say that, I guarantee.
Topher Woodchuck. All right, Abe, we wanted to have you on, obviously, to talk about some of the legal issues. Now, you were on the way over here. You, I'm sure, did not hear our discussion with Janet Mefford. We were talking with her. I don't know if you're familiar with the situation of the conference, God's Voice conference that they had, and they had this was about the issue of the LGBT movement in the evangelical community and what the Bible says about homosexuality and the possibility of change. They had this conference at Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, and had the live stream videos, live stream owned by Vimeo, on the website, and Vimeo has not only pulled all those down, but wiped out even the sermons for Fairview Baptist Church because they did not like the content of the video. So I know you don't know all those details, but let me ask you this, and then we're going to get on to the issue of the Electoral College with you and whatever else Chris has got over there in his bag of tricks. But these kinds of things with big social, all right, private company, Vimeo, private companies in terms of Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, all of those. Increasingly, conservatives are feeling squeezed out of the public square by these big socials, but also Christians. Is there any real legal recourse that Christians can take going forward? Let's say Facebook said, No Christian videos. I mean, nothing to do, nothing critical of homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Is there any legal recourse that you, well, just off the top of your head?
Yeah, there are some people now who are presenting legal challenges to people like Facebook and Twitter, because Facebook and Twitter has represented themselves as being an open avenue for all views of all sorts. So if you had one of them where they would advertise themselves as saying that, hey, we don't allow Christian content, we don't allow anything on these platforms that will be critical of the sexual deviancy political agenda, then that would be, you can do that if you want to do that under our laws, and it would give the American public and the global public, frankly, the opportunity to say, well, whether or not they want to get a profile on those platforms. What's happening now, they're saying we let all come, but behind the scenes, they are not allowing that to happen. So there are some legal challenges. I know Dennis Prager right now has filed a lawsuit against big tech companies for that very fact. And on the flip side, there are some who are arguing that the social media space has become the new public square, and because of that, the First Amendment should apply there. So there are some people who are treading into that water. So the answer is not as simple as I would like it to be.
Right.
It depends on a number of factors. One, it depends on whether or not there are courts who are willing to uphold the claim that you said that you can allow, you allow all views, but you don't allow that to happen. So basically, mm-hmm. like a breach of contract, if you will, type of claim, false advertisement type of claim. Or two, to allow a claim to be advanced based on the notion that social media has become the new public square and the First Amendment should apply.
Is part of the problem that our courts, our legislators, and our courts have made homosexuality a protected group of people? In other words, it's put up there along with, you know, skin color, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so these social media people perhaps could, if they were taken to court, say, well, we're just following the non-discrimination laws, the federal non-discrimination laws, state non-discrimination laws. I'm just wondering, if would that be a possible defense?
Well, that could be argued. Whether or not it's successful, I doubt it, because to date, there has not been the addition of the protected class status for homosexuality, things of that nature, in federal law, even though you have various states who have adopted that, because that is not the law in every state where these social media corporations operate. That couldn't be used as a broad-based defense to any type of claim in that particular area. But, I mean, it's becoming more patently obvious. And you said, you know, conservatives are feeling squeezed out, and Christians in particular. It is particularly Christianity. Conservatism, yes, but Christianity with particularity mm-hmm. is being squeezed out, because you're finding now that, you know, even the Republican Party is, and even formerly conservative outlets are elevating the voices of so-called, you know, gay conservatives and things of that nature. So you're finding that the narrowing of the scope that's being allowed is focusing primarily on Christians.
Hmm. All right. Well, we have not, as I've said before, we've not walked this way before. Yeah. This is all new, and it's new for the legal system. And so we're going to have to wait and see how this plays out. All right, Chris, what else did we want to talk to Abe about?
Well, regarding the idea or push from Democrats, particularly those running for president, or at least their party's presidential nomination, when it comes to the idea of doing away with the Electoral College, what exactly, this is a loaded question, but what exactly has to be done for them to even have for that to be possible?
Yeah, so basically you have to get a number of states whose total, individual states who agree to allocate their electoral votes according to the national popular vote, because electoral votes are allocated based on each state's prerogative. Okay, the Constitution creates electoral college system, mm-hmm. but the allocation of electoral votes are determined by each state. So what has to happen in order for, well, what they are hoping to happen in order to abolish the electoral college system is enough states agree to a compact where they agree to allocate their electoral votes according to the national popular vote. Hmm. Right now, with the state of Colorado, the latest one to sign on to this national popular vote compact, they're at a total now of 181 electoral votes. All they need is 270. If a number of states with the total of their electoral votes make up 270 electoral mm-hmm. votes, then they will have effectively transformed the electoral college system to where those states will allocate their electoral votes according to the national
poll. Well, I just, for clarification purposes, are you saying that let's say Arkansas mm-hmm. signs on to this, even though most of the people in a presidential election voted for the Republican candidate.
That's right.
With this pact, it doesn't matter. If the Democrat wins the popular vote,
then Arkansas's electoral college votes will go
to the Democrat.
Now, let me just we want to clarify, because some mm-hmm. people get, this is back to civics and stuff. Mm-hmm. Where the popular vote is across the country, how many votes go, so Hillary Clinton apparently had 3 million more votes cast for her nationwide totally. Than Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. But because of the electoral college, mm-hmm. you had states that their electoral votes added up to a win for Donald Trump, even though California had millions more votes cast for Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
So that's what Fred is talking about when he says the popular vote. So, mm-hmm. And let me toss in this with Fred too. Is it legal? Is it legal? We use Arkansas as the example. Is it legal for Arkansas to say, okay, we know that the people of Arkansas voted for Donald Trump. Let's just go back to 2016. Mm-hmm. We know they voted for Donald Trump, but because Californians voted overwhelmingly for Hillary Clinton, your votes don't count in Arkansas. California's voters trump your votes. We're taking our electoral votes and giving them to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and this is why. The Constitution allows for each state to determine how their electoral votes will be allocated. So the idea is that Arkansas residents and citizens are speaking through their state representatives and state senators, their state legislators, to determine how they want their electoral college votes to be allocated. So the idea is, if the citizens of Arkansas didn't want their electoral votes to follow the national popular vote, then they should have or would have prohibited their state representatives and state senators from passing that.
Isn't this disenfranchisement, though?
Literally. Yeah. Absolutely 100% disenfranchisement.
Right, so couldn't you go to court and say, my vote is being disenfranchised, mm-hmm. but you're saying you might lose that because the people's representatives in Little Rock,
that's right,
made the decision.
Right, yeah. Because under the Constitution's framework, the Electoral College system gives to each state. That's why we have a few states that have a bifurcation of the Electoral College votes allocations. I think Maine and
Nebraska. Does.
Exactly, right. Because their state government, their state legislators, have determined how they will allocate the Electoral College votes. This will be the same scenario.
Well, I'm thinking then maybe it's time that if you're concerned about this in whatever state you're in, then you ought to be calling for at least a referendum to be put in place. There should be a referendum within a state saying we're not or we are giving our legislators the power to do this.
Yeah, let's just be clear. It's only blue states that are doing it.
Right.
And they're doing it because of their state populations. So in order to stop this, there has to be a sufficient amount of states that do not agree to make any changes to the way their electoral college votes are allocated.
Could this backfire on liberals? Let's say, and I mentioned this in the story meeting this morning, you weren't in there, where you have a situation that's reversed. Let's say Hillary Clinton was on the verge, and we're talking about 2020, Hillary Clinton was on the verge of winning the Electoral College, but Donald Trump won the popular vote. Could the electoral votes of California, for example, be forced into Donald Trump's column because they made this deal?
If the National Popular Vote Compact is adopted, yes. But I don't think that's a good system.
No, I don't
either.
We need
to keep the Electoral College intact. The constitutional Republican features of our democracy, of our republic, are important. They have been very wisely crafted, and they've allowed our country to enjoy uncommon freedom and prosperity. And if we change that, we do so to our own detriment.
All right, Abe Hamilton has been our guest. You can hear him on the Hamilton Corner each weekday at 5:05 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. We're going to take a five-minute break for news, folks, and when we return, Steve Jordahl will be in with more news. Please join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.